down through verse number 5 this morning. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth, and the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we look not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen. O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. Praise our God. Hallelujah. You can be seated again this morning. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. Hallelujah. Isaiah is crying out. The Spirit of God is moving, if you will, in Isaiah's heart, stirring a longing to see God reveal himself like Isaiah knows he can. You ever found yourself desiring that? In the midst of this crooked, perverse generation, this world we're living in that is so sick with sin, that is so sick with humanistic ideology, so sick with socialism, so sick with that man is a god and he's in control of everything he does and there is no God. Have you ever found yourself saying, oh God, just show them who you are. God, just show them. I have. God, touch and heal. God, work a miracle. You ever been there? Longing to see the miracles of God. Longing to see the healings of God. Longing to see God really just show himself to this world. Well, that's where Isaiah was at. He was longing to see God show himself to the people that were rising up against him and the people of his own name that were forsaking him, that they would turn around. They would wake up. And then he kicks into the prophecy mode, if you will, not trying to belittle it or offend anyone, but then it just moves right in. For since the beginning of the world, that Hebrew word is the same word they use for eternity in our King James Bible. For since eternity, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen. O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. I want to preach this morning on the waiter. The waiter. That man, that woman, that young person, the waiter. For him that waiteth for him. A little bit of understanding of what that word waiteth means is found in the next verse. Verse number 5. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth in righteousness. The sentence is written, rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. So that means rejoices in righteousness, works righteousness. That's the waiter. Gives us a little insight to what that word really is trying to get across. Yes, it means to tarry. It means to look for or to await with a longing. It means to adhere to.
Oh.
That means I'm going to hang on to God. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to adhere to God until He comes. Woo. This is the waiter. Hallelujah. And the things that God has prepared for him that waiteth. It's not for that heathen world out there to have everything God's going to do for you, the waiter. But yet he's going to take you, the waiter, and show them what he can do. Oh my. You know, a lot of times we're praying, well, God, perform a miracle. God, heal a body. And God said, be a waiter. Be a liver. A liver for God. A servant of God. A follower of God. You want to see God show himself? Then be all you can be for God. Woo! And God will show himself through you. Through me. Praise God. He's prepared things. Those that remember thee in thy ways. In other words, that waiter remembers God and remembers God's ways. Woo. And then he ends up, we shall be saved. Though some may turn away, though some may fall by the wayside, so though some may get weary and not want to wait anymore. You and I will continue on, for we shall be saved. Woo, praise God. Being that waiter. Now, Paul picks this scripture up in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 9. And he is quoting this scripture of Isaiah chapter number 64. When Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them. And this is the word he uses that love him. So, who's the waiter? The one who loves him. Wow. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, love one another. By this, they will know that you love me, that you love one another. Wow. Did you catch that? By this, they will know that you love me because you love one another. The world doesn't see your heart. The world sees your actions. The world hears your voice. The world sees your attitude. The world... Are you getting the picture? Woo! They can't see your heart. You know, there's been a lot of people say, well, you know, it doesn't make any difference how you live your life or how you dress or how you do your hair, how you do this or how you do that. It doesn't make any difference. The only thing that makes a difference is your heart. Well, I beg to differ with you, because according to God's word, the difference for everybody that is around you is what they see, not what you have in your heart. But I have also found that what's in your heart as a child of God is going to be what they see. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, God sees the heart, and man sees your life. Spirit, soul, and body. Praise God. So we got to understand the waiter. He's concerned about his heart, and he's concerned about his conversation or the way he lives his life. Because he knows and he understands that he may be the only word of God people read. Whoa. Did you know that people are reading your life? What version are we? Praise God. That's good. That'll preach. Somebody pin that down that's a preacher. Praise God. What version are you? Praise God. Are you making room for the old flesh? Are you making room for those little habitual sins? You know, you can go to a different version of the Bible to make room for them. You know that, don't you? Woo. Are you hanging tough and being the waiter? That one that's waiting on God. Hallelujah. For God to make his move. And it's kind of like the song that we've sung. Lord, if you're moving, don't move without me. Hallelujah. Too many times we're wanting God to move, but we're wanting him to move without me. Move, God. Show yourself, God. Do this, God. Oh, God, please. And he's saying, I'm ready when you are. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we see the waiter. The waiter. The one that loves him. But now notice in Isaiah, that's kind of where it ends. Nobody has seen. Nobody has heard. But it's prepared for those that are a waiter, those that love him. But now Paul begins to expound about what God has done and is doing. You see, a lot of times people grab that scripture and say, we've never seen it. We've never seen it. Oh, but you can. Oh, but you can. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We've got to get our eyes, and don't misunderstand me, because we want to see the lost saved and we want to minister to the lost. But the first thing is we've got to get our eyes off the lost and we got to get our eyes on ourselves and say, God, show me your power. Hallelujah. Show me your ways. Show me righteousness. Show me the way I need to be living my life so I can help show them. And so then when you do move in your might and your power, he'll have somewhere he can take them that they might know him. Oh, praise God. So sad, a lot of people get saved. And this is, I don't have this statistic before me. I've read it before. But in a lot of the revival services, even of Billy Graham, of all the converts that came down, the thousands that came down, when you go back and try to find them again, they're nowhere to be found because they never had anywhere to go to grow. And now those great numbers are just numbers of one meeting that never produced waiters. There's far more to it than getting people saved. That first initial surrender to God, that's the beginning point. From that point, we're making waiters. Waiting on God. Hallelujah. We encourage those that are seeking the baptism in the Holy Ghost to wait on God. Why? Well, because Jesus told his disciples to go and tarry in Jerusalem, wait in Jerusalem. Did that mean they just went and sat down in a chair and twiddled their thumbs? Now, if you go read the scriptures, when they went to Jerusalem, they didn't know what they were waiting for, who they were waiting for. So they just started reading the scriptures. They started occupying. Yeah, they started serving God according to the capacity that they had, which wasn't much at that time. Praise God. And so we see then the reality of waiting on God has more of an understanding than just sitting and doing nothing. It may be sitting, but you are asking, you are seeking, you are knocking, you're wanting more. God, rend the heavens in my soul, in my heart, in my mind. Verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. But God hath revealed them unto us. And notice how he's revealed it. By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Word of God, not coupled with the Spirit of God, is a very dangerous thing. And so many have become shipwrecked because they deny the Spirit and just want the Word. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it's the Spirit that brings the Word alive. And so if you're just reading dead, you're just going to be dead. But if you're reading alive by the Spirit of God, then you're going to be reading life. Hallelujah. You're going to be reading life. And so we see the Spirit of God is beginning to reveal, or has revealed and is revealing, those great things God has prepared for man. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You're not going to understand the things of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And now I'm going to complete that statement. You're not going to understand the things of God without the leading of the Spirit of God. And if you're trying to comprehend the baptism in the Holy Ghost without actually just letting the Holy Ghost have His way, you're not going to understand it. You're going to lose hope. You're going to lose faith because you're going about it all wrong. You got to go about it as it's the promise of the Father. It's for you, and you must have it. And then you begin to start preparing your heart and your mind to receive what the Spirit of God has for you. Praise God. You've got to understand it's the Spirit of God. He'll not lead you astray when your heart is pure, your mind is pure, your desire is pure. He's going to lead you to where you need to go, what you need to do, and what it's going to take. Praise God. And so we read on, verse 13, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Who are we that will tell God how we're going to do it? But we have the mind of Christ, Paul speaking. The reality of him sharing the truths of the kingdom with the Corinthians to help them realize you got to get back to a spiritual mind, a spiritual desire, and a surrender to God. And quit trying to do it the way you want to do it. That was the message. You've got to get back to being the waiter. The waiter. Isaiah 64, the next few verses, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up in himself to take a hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou our potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. Wow. That's a waiter. That's a waiter. That one that's looking to God, knowing He's the Father. He's the authority. He's the creator of all things. I belong to Him. I don't belong to myself. And I'm just His clay. Wow, it's amazing. You know, we're just dust. We're just dirt that God formed together. I don't know whether you use a little water with it or not. The Bible just tells us that out of the dust of the earth we were formed. God, He's the potter. We're the clay. He breathed life into Adam. And he's the only one that can bring life into us. He's the only one that can change our lives as we become willing, as we become a waiter, waiting on God for what's next. What's next in my life, Lord? Thank you for the victory. The victory today was mine. But what's next, God? Hallelujah. What more can you do in me? What more can you do with me? The waiter. Woo! Making ourselves available. I give myself away. You want to know where all your struggles and all your problems come from? I'm not trying to be facetious or offend anyone, but they come from you. Your problems don't come from me. Your problems don't come from somebody else. Your problems come from you when you don't respond properly to what someone else does. When you react instead of respond, and you cause problems because of the words you said, even though someone may have said them first. But isn't that just like the enemy using someone else to make you stumble? Is that not what he did with Eve and Adam? Whoa. But was Adam guiltless? No. I mean, you know, you could redo that scenario, and Eve may have ate of the fruit, and when Adam came on the scene, he should have said, "Woman, what have you done? We are not doing that again. I'm not eating of that." God said no, and that's the end of it. Guess what? Sin would not have come into the world. Sin came when Adam disobeyed. Not when his helpmeet disobeyed. When Adam disobeyed, sin came into the world. So, anybody getting any pictures in your mind yet? Of where you've been this week? Praise the Lord. What you've been through this week? Praise God. Waiter. Those that wait upon the Lord. Those that are looking to hear, longing to hear what he has to say about my life. Being that clay so he can be the potter. See, there's just too much of me. When there's too much of me, there's always going to be problems. There's always going to be words said wrong, things done wrong, attitudes wrong. When there's so much of me in my life, well, tell me, how can any of that be good when there's nothing good in me and my righteousness is as filthy rags? So the only good thing that can come from my life is what the Spirit of God brings from my life. And as a waiter, I understand that. And I begin to wait on God continually so that doesn't happen. But that whatever transpires, spiritual response. Oh, wow. You mean every time? Well, I wish. We don't wish, do we? What do? We pray. Hallelujah. Do you want it to be that way every time? Do you want it to be carnal every time? Or do you want it to be spiritual every time? Which one do you want? Which version? Well, praise God. We'll use that again. Glory to God. Which version do you want? Hallelujah. Verse 9. Be not wroth, very sore, or very long, O Lord. Neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee. We are thy people. What is that? Lord, I know we do wrong. But don't be angry at us continually. Because we are your people. And we're beseeching you. We're waiting on you. We want to be changed. We don't want to stay the same. You see, our failures come not that we can remain in them, but so that we can see them. You may not think you have a problem in that area until a problem arises because of that area. And then conflict arrives, and it is to bring light to my actions and my deeds that brought that conflict my direction, so that I might wait upon the Lord and let the potter remold the clay. Hallelujah. You know, you go read what Paul had to write. You know, had the conflict not arose and the law said thou shalt not, I would not have known sin. So that's why conflicts sometimes arise, that the word might then come on the scene and realize, oh, wow, I did that wrong. I said that wrong. I let my anger get the best of me. I let my attitude get ugly. I get the picture. And that all happened so you could see it and then wait on God so he'll change it. But if you don't want to change it, my friend, you're stuck in a bad place. Because then you're wanting to God. You're wanting God then to change you. Yeah. Let me use my students as an example. Would you rather take Brother Pepper's advice and start getting your homework done, or would you rather have Woody persuade you? Woody is our discipline board. He's a great friend of the students. He's a love to the teacher. So would you rather receive instruction, lectures, mercy, grace, kindness? I'm not just looking at you, Lydia. I'm looking at Isaac too. Or would you rather just have Woody make it happen? The first one. That's a waiter. That when God brings his word, God brings his love, God brings his mercy, God brings his compassion, and asks me to change, or Woody comes on the scene and God has to make it happen. Now that's a pretty good analogy in my opinion. A lot of people don't think, well, God would never do that. Oh, yes. God loves us so much, and whom the Lord loves, he chastens. When does he have to chasten? When I will not listen to what the Spirit speaks to my heart about my life, and I will not change, then God will begin to move in his mysterious ways to bring it even greater awareness to my life of how of a detriment that is. So that now I'm crying to change. Now, those that have received Woody, were you crying to change after you met him? You were. You were crying for sure. And there was change that followed. Woo! Praise God. Now, you want to be a waiter? Those that wait upon the Lord, those that hear what the Spirit says to the church, that overcomer, oh, praise our God, a waiter. You see, a waiter, Luke 19:13, and I'm wrapping this up at a slow rate. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. A waiter is one that occupies. Someone that occupies is someone that does what the master wanted done. You go read the rest of that story and you find some of them didn't do what they knew they should do. And they got judgment. Can I say that again? Some of them didn't do what they knew they needed to do and they got judgment. But the ones that did what the master wanted done got reward. You just thought that was in school. Praise God. Romans 12:11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, when you hear the word serving, do you think of someone just sitting, reclining in their recliner, and reading the Bible? Is that what you think of when you think serving? Serving. Do you think of someone sitting at the dinner table with their fork in one hand, their knife in the other hand, and someone else bringing them food, bringing them drinks? Is that what you think a server is? Someone who receives something all the time? Is that what you think of when you think of serving? What do you think of when you think of serving, Titus? Work for someone? What do you think when you think of serving, Timmy? Yeah. What do you think, Jonathan? Serving. What's that mean? Providing. That's good. That's good. So serving has nothing to do with receiving, does it? Other than the fact that if you receive something, you should want to be a server. Receive not the grace of God in vain. Become the servant of the Lord. Serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Those are all action things. Action statements of the reality of what, as the waiting on God or waiter of God, I need to be doing. Hallelujah. And so then, once again, this is not God's responsibility. It's my responsibility. Responsibility means doing what I've been told to do without supervision of authority. Oh. So does Jesus have to be standing right beside you, glowing in his brilliant, white, bright white light of his glorified body before you're going to do right? That stomps toes, doesn't it? I mean, that gets you right down where you're living, because a lot of times, if the pastor shows up, we change immediately. We quit talking like we were talking. We quit having an attitude like we were having, and we're all smiles. What are you laughing at? That's just the way it is. But see, I'm nobody. I'm just dirt. But I do appreciate the fact that you respect who I am. And it does mean something to you who I am, or you wouldn't even do that. Because I've been to places where they didn't do that. They just continued on in their... We went knocking doors, and I'll not go into great detail, but when you go knocking doors, you find all kinds of people. And some realize what you're doing, and they make it as difficult on you as they can. By what they wear, what they have playing in the background, their dog right there on a leash. You know, you're running up. Not everybody respects those people that are trying to witness for Jesus. But at least when the pastor comes around, you do respect enough to change. Wow, that really ain't going to get it done, is it? That hasn't changed a thing other than for that moment. But Jesus pours out his love. Pours out his spirit, pours out his mercy, pours out his grace, and we just receive it, love it, and go right on doing our own thing instead of allowing it to build us into that waiter, that servant of the Lord. I'm going to close with this, believe it or not. Someone's making their way to the piano. The title of this reading was originally called The Apostolic Attitude. But I changed the title for the purpose of this message. And I titled it The Waiter's Attitude. It's not changing what it's fixing to say. And if you've got soft shoes on, you might put them under the chair. Just for a little while till I'm done. Otherwise, your toes are going to be black and blue. the waiter's attitude. We all understand attitude is how you perceive something, how you show yourself. The waiter's attitude. I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Ghost power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. And my future is secure. I'm finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed vision, chintzy giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need prosperity, position, promotion, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live in the present tense by faith, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set, my gate is fast, and my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions few, my guide reliable, my mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, deceived, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my enemy, negotiate at the table of the adversary, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, let up, or shut up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, and paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go till I drop, preach till all know, and work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will not have any problem recognizing me, because I will not be discouraged, and I refuse to quit. The waiter's attitude. No matter what comes my way, no matter what I need to change, I'm headed that direction. I'm going that way. I'm walking with my God. I'm realizing daily who He is and how worthy He is to be praised. How worthy He is to be worshipped. How worthy He is to be honored. And I do all that not only by lifting my hands and not only by lifting my voice, but by living righteously in this present world for my King. For my King. When it gets difficult to abide in truth, just remember, I'm not doing this for popularity. I'm not doing it for people. I'm doing this for my King. But because I'm doing it for my King, I will be popular among His people. And His people will notice. And His people will follow. Praise God. But I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it for Him. I mean, we can take it just one step lower. Whatever you lay your hand to, do it as unto the Lord. The waiter. That one that loves God all their heart, all their soul, all their strength, and loves their neighbor as themselves. Praise our God. Let's stand together. Truly, the presence of our God is in this place. Hallelujah. He has spoken to us. He has moved upon us. And He has shared with us wonderful things of His glorious kingdom this morning. Now let's give him praise. Let's give him thanksgiving. Let's rejoice in the mercies of our God. Let's rejoice in the grace of our God. And let's receive that grace and bring forth growth. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, I praise you and I thank you, Lord God, for your people, your saints, your children. Hallelujah, that call upon your name. Hallelujah, Lord God, and your wonderful works, Lord, that you do in their lives. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord God, for what you've done here this morning. Lord, your time of refreshing, your time of revival, your time of peace, your time of power. Oh, glory to our God. And let us go forth.
Change me,
Lord God, for thy glory, for thy praise, for thy honor. Hallelujah. To be a waiter. Just waiting on the
Lord.
Hallelujah. To be filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, to be directed by the Spirit of God. To receive of the Word of God. Just waiting on the Lord. A waiter.